Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here today. We're going to start another review, in a sense, of a basic topic, eternal rewards. Hopefully you'll learn something, but once again, it should be fairly basic. There's a lot of, I don't want to say confusion, but in a sense, a lot of unknown areas within this. I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 6, just to use this verse to kind of show you that this is basic. It's even called elementary or an elemental principle. Hebrews chapter 6, and of course, without introducing the whole book of Hebrews, it's written to a Jewish Christians, and they're either in Italy or being written to from Italy. So Rome's involved in this. Italy's involved in it. And so they could be Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, possibly, being addressed from Italy, or someone is Jewish Christians in Italy being addressed. But nonetheless, here's what the writer of the book of Hebrews says in chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Now, the point there in those elementary doctrine is these are foundational. These are things you should know, and I'll give you a list of them here in a minute. They're basic, but they're kind of like the foundation. This is what we're going to learn, and then we're going to start building on those foundations. And he's going to insult them a couple times or challenge them a couple times in this book. It's like, we need to go back and teach you these things again. You should know them and have grown on. But instead of you should have already become a teacher yourself, but instead I've got to come back and teach you these elementary things again. And so what he's, you know, telling them, they should have matured. He says, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of, now here's a list of foundational things, of repentance from dead works. And I think that's just basically, you know, coming to Christ and repenting of dead works, of sin. Of faith towards God. And of instruction about washings. Now that's a challenging number right there. Instruction about washings. Some would say it's baptism, but it's a different form of the word used in the rest of the New Testament for baptism, plus it's plural. So it's got to do with washings. And so this may be something that's odd for us and more of a first century issue for Jewish Christians who had a lot of dipping in mikvahs and washings and rituals they went through, which are all symbolic of a coming new age. And it's all throughout the book of Leviticus and the Old Testament of people dipping and washing and rituals they had to do. And so these instructions may be about what these washings represent now in this new age, meaning the new age of the church. But anyway, we're not real sure we can talk about what that means. It's probably more pointed towards the Jews being instructed on the meaning of these rituals now that they're in the new age. And that's what the whole book of Hebrews is about, is they're talking about the priesthood now means this. The sacrifice, the red heifer now means this. There's all these symbolic things of the Old Testament are being updated with the coming of Christ and the beginning of the church. So that's probably got something to do with that. So in other words, the elementary things, the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, instructions about washings, the laying on of hands, probably laying on of hands for the coming of the Spirit or introduction to an office or position or spiritual gifts, the resurrection of the dead. Ah, see, we talked about that last week. And watch this, an eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible. And it goes on and talks there. But one of the things listed there is of the eternal judgment. But it comes after the resurrection of the dead. And so when I hear eternal judgment, I think of, you know, people that are going to be sent to hell and stand in front of the throne of God and be sent away, get away, and cast into outer darkness, which is true. But when you start reading, well, look at the next line. On your notes, I got right at the top of the page. We got a couple of verses. But one of the first lines there, the majority of Paul's references, now this is Paul's. Now, who is Paul writing letters to? You know, just play with me here. What are he writing letters to? He's writing letters to churches. He's not writing letters to lost people or societies that are in darkness. He maybe refers to them, but he's writing letters to churches, people that are already saved. And so when he addresses these people about judgment, he's going to be talking about the judgment of the believer. Now, so right there, the majority of Paul's reference to judgment are references to believers. The minority of his references are the judgment of non-believers, because it's a fact, it's an information, it's a doctrine, but the church, that's not your focus, is all the wicked are going to be judged someday. Well, that's good information to know. It's theological, it's a doctrine. You should have compassion on them to go save them, but the issue you should be concerned with is your judgment. You're going to stand in front of God and you'll be, what? Now this, what, this is where it becomes an issue, because the two things are taking place here is you're going to have salvation by faith, and then you're going to have rewards based on works. And again, this is something that's solid doctrine, but for some people, they can't go there, because once you see the word works, it's like, whoa, 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 we're saved by grace. Correct, you're saved by faith, by grace. That is your salvation, where you're brought into the family, you're brought into the body of Christ, you're put on the crew, you've got a job, you're one of the team. But now that you're in the church, now that you're in the family, now that you're on the job, you're on the team, you now have to perform. This just in a sense can be very radical for Christians, especially in the Western world, is the seeker church sometimes is just focused on this, saving you from hell. Now that you've accepted Christ, go your way. Someday you'll get to go to heaven and enjoy your life there. So enjoy your life here. Someday you'll die, go to heaven, enjoy your life here. Welcome to Christianity. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not biblical Christianity. Yeah, you're saved by faith, but you're saved, and you can read throughout the whole New Testament, you're saved and brought in, and it's for a purpose. You now have what we call a Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Another way would be boss, would be the one that hired you. He's going to be the one who's going to rent the land out to you. He's the one that's going to give you an investment and then go away and come back and see how you managed his business. The Lord has gone away and has left us now with a responsibility. The parables, are, we'll get to some of them, where it's as if someone... And this makes sense to you. You are now hired on a crew. You're hired for a job, and you get to the job site, and a truck backs up and unloads all your material, you know, all the instructions, and then they drive away. Now, the owner of the business doesn't drop them off. He has someone else come by. The owner of the business maybe lives in another state somewhere. But you've been hired and you've been given this assignment, this is your responsibility, build this house or build this project, finish this project, what if it be a building, if it be a road, if it be a driveway. And all the materials are there. All the instructions are there. You've been hired, you've been trained. Okay, good luck. Get to work. And that is where you've been hired, but now you've been given a job assignment and you're to go to work. Everything's been given. It's still by grace. You've been given this position, you've been given the power, the Holy Spirit has come into you, all the materials are there, and now you need to do something. But many people right here, they don't understand this because they're looking for their best life now. Well, you're saved from hell, brought into this, and now your best life now is going to be finding what the boss, what the Lord, the master wants you to do. And many people, they don't go here. And they're not concerned because we're saved by grace. It's not by works. We're saved by faith. Jesus did the work. Right, Jesus did the work of salvation, but if you read the Bible, he went away and left you with responsibility. He's not doing it now. He says, I'll send you the Holy Spirit, but now what are you doing? Well, I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. Oh, it's going to be one scary day for you when he comes back and you're sitting in the lawn chair in the front yard with a truckload of material with instructions. You're saying, I've been waiting for you to come back. I'm ready to go to heaven. It's like, what have you been doing, you lousy servant? You lousy, unfaithful servant. Now, that's not going to affect the fact that you got hired for the job, that you're on the team. You're still saved by grace, but you would be considered a loser. Oh, no one's going to be a loser in heaven. Well, let's read some scriptures. There will be a fire that will test the quality of each man's work. If they built on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, they'll receive their reward. But the fire will also test if they built with wood, hay, or straw, and that will be consumed, and it says very clearly, and they will suffer loss. Not loss of salvation, but loss of rewards, because you did no work. you get no rewards. So now all of a sudden the concept of equality in heaven, well, it's going to be fair, it's going to be just, but not everyone is good. Everyone is saved by faith, everyone's saved by the work of the cross, but how did you respond to the truck that backed up into your job site and dropped off your materials, your instructions, and gave you everything you needed to do what God assigned you to do for the Lord while in his absence, and you says, I'm not interested. I'm having my best life now. And you went ahead and lived in the world, and maybe you could just be living in the world as a Christian. You are saved now, and just living in the world, having your best life now, doing zero right here. Or you could be a leader in a church, or you could be a Christian in a leadership position, if it be as a father, if it be as a leader in a church, if it be a pastor, you could be saved, and then you're going to go up here and serve and gain notoriety and praise, and what a great, you know, speaker, they've built a great church, they've got a great ministry. But meanwhile, what is this? Is this a worldly church? Is this a worldly ministry? Are you helping people find their best life now? Or are you telling them, you have now one Lord and Master, your boss, and he's given you an assignment. He's going to hold you accountable for finishing the work that he gave you. You don't have time for this. You need to get busy doing this. So you're just doing this for the rewards? No, we're not just doing this for the rewards. We're doing this because our Lord has given us an assignment, but he is a faithful and just Lord. He will reward you for your service, for your works. So that's a quick introduction to what we're talking about. And now, to be fair, I've kind of preachy right there. It's like, is that true? Well, let's see if it lines up with Scripture. And again, I'll go through a lot of Scriptures here. You've got 20 pages of notes right here. They're online also. Yeah, don't panic. No, we won't be here until 3 o'clock. And they're not all here. I didn't print them all off. Yeah. All right. Anyway, a couple of verses to start with on the top of that page. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Just so you hear Jesus' words, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:8, Paul writes, each will receive his wages according to his labor. And then there's two groups on there, right there, underlined, unbelievers' judgment. So we'll talk about two groups of people. There's unbelievers that will face judgment, and then there's believers who will face judgment. Or maybe you want to say evaluation or a testing. Unbelievers, judgment and punishment. They'll be judged without Christ. They'll receive loss of worthwhile existence, described as separation from God. If you die without Christ, you will be separated from God spiritually. And so your existence is worthless. But also, because you are soul and body in a resurrected state, there'll actually be mental and physical punishment. So there's the spirit, soul, and body will suffer for eternity separated from God. And again, that's not our topic, but that would be, you know, talking about other judgments of unbelievers. The believer's judgment and reward, these are some important foundations to build right here. First, there is no wrath. We are not talking about the wrath of God. There's a difference between the wrath of God being poured out on an unbeliever who is separated from God and just being put into wrath or condemned, and those who have come to Christ and are in Christ and they're saved. I don't think you can lose your salvation, but you may not live a productive life. You will be evaluated as a worthless servant. That doesn't mean you go to the lake of fire, because you're not. Christ received your wrath and your condemnation, as you see those verses right there. There's no wrath for the believer, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. To obtain salvation. Now, salvation is not reward. Salvation is what gets you out of the wrath of God and into the body of Christ, into the plan of God. Now, how you function in the body of Christ, that can't be hard for you to imagine. You can see in your own life's time where you were been productive and you were faithful, and times where you got distracted and started going the way of the world. And you can look at people that are are maturing, or people that have been saved and they just drift off into oblivion in the spiritual realm. No condemnation is the next point, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, important in this, and it's going to come up several times, notice that word, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. One of the points here, now. It's not like you're not waiting to not be condemned. Right now, you are not condemned. Now. It's not going to something when you go to heaven, when you die, you'll be, oh, you're no longer condemned. You're no longer condemned now. This salvation is now. A big difference, this right here is not now. You're waiting. In fact, you don't even know what's going to happen. I can't tell you what the Lord thinks of my ministry. I have an opinion. I can judge myself like I need to get back and get in the right standing with God. I need to do things for the right motivation. You confess your sin and get back in the light as He is in the light. But it hasn't been revealed yet. Christ's evaluation has not. We got the scriptures. We can make some comparison. But that's just like, anticipates like a scouting report. This is what we expect. But when you stand there, He's going to reveal things, and it's going to be a very terrifying day. You're still be saved, but you're face to face. Even says in different verses, each of us must give an account of himself. It's not going to be and again, I'm telling you without reading your scripture, so we got to get to the scriptures. It's not going to be this passive, next, and then they give me a 85% stamp, and here's your ribbon, and next, it's like, it's going to be up, and again, we're no longer in time. We've entered into an eternal state. So, like, how does God have time for all of that? We each must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, Bema seat, we'll talk about that, and give an account of ourselves. So it would be like a pre-job interview. So I see that you only used half the materials I provided. What kind of structure is this? Is it going to stand up? Is it going to pass the test? Well, I tried my best. The church board wouldn't let me talk about that. I had to stay. It's like my church leader wasn't a good Bible teacher. I had bad parenting. It's like, okay. It's like that you're giving an account, and what you're doing is you're making excuses. And again, I'm acting. I don't know how it's going to be, but anyway, no wrath, no condemnation. The next point, justification by faith, not works. This is by grace. So you are saved by faith. There's no danger of losing your salvation in the way I understand doctrine. Now, you say, yeah, but it talks about, look at any kind of verse that they use that you look at, and they may lose, or they'll be cast out, or something like this. It's going to be in this area right here. Even Paul talks about that he wants to be qualified and not be disqualified at the judgment. Paul's not worried about losing his salvation, but he does talk about, I'm not sure what's going to happen here, that this, I don't want to be disqualified. And then he tells him, make sure you don't start following false doctrine or false teaching and lose what you've worked for. He tells churches that. They're not working for their salvation, but if you get saved and you're in Christ, and then you get into a worldly church and get bad doctrine, you may actually lose and go backwards in your rewards. You may screw up what God has called you because you start going the wrong way. And so Paul talks about losing what you've worked for, but never about losing your salvation. So there's failure available right here. And that's why this would be an important thing. This would be an elemental doctrine. You understand, you're saved, but are you being productive? Are you living a mature life? Are you doing what God's called you to do? And again, that gets into, we'll get some other topics. Well, I like, for example, Generation Word Bible Teaching Ministry. I decided to be a Bible teacher. When I get to heaven, God says, well, here's the truck. I didn't see you didn't even tap into the gifts I gave you. The building project was this. Yeah, but I was teaching Bible in my living room, for 25 years and online. It's like, I missed that. What was that? GenerationWord.com. Generation Word. It's like, and he goes like, never heard of it. Let me see my eternal plans for your life. Yeah, that's that. Did you see this part right here? Did you see this? Yeah, I saw that, but I wasn't really interested in that. Okay. And let's see how, pass it through the fire. The wood, hay, and straw will be burnt up. Generation, it's like it's gone. and you will suffer loss. It's like, but I did what I was a Bible teacher, but it wasn't what I called you to. It wasn't what I was wanting. It's not what you were assigned to do. And there's different things. It can be done the wrong way. It can be done with wrong information, wrong doctrine, or it can be done with a bad attitude. I just wanted to be the most popular Bible teacher in the world. It's like, so that was your goal for all those years. Yes, I just want to be well known and famous. How'd that work out for you? Well, you know, I had 7 people come to my Bible studies. You know, I printed some books. What books are those? You maybe not have heard of them. No, I haven't. It's like, that's wood, hay, and stubble. That's just burnt up. And I will suffer my entire life as a Christian. Well, in that phase of it, will be consumed, and I will suffer loss and have nothing. Again, I hope that's not the case, but you understand, that could be the reality. Because, okay, we could start rambling on and on here about other things. Let's keep going back to the text. Where am I at here? Okay, I'm still on the first page. No wrath, there's no condemnation. Justification by faith, not by works. This is by grace. But the judgment seat of Christ to receive what is due us. We will all appear, and this is going to come up several times. I'm going to say this many times. 2 Corinthians 5:10, here's the verse. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, he's talking to the Corinthians. This is not talking to unbelievers. The unbelievers have an entire different scenario. They're not going to appear before the Bema seat. The Bema seat is where we're going to receive our rewards. We'll talk about what that word means here in a little bit. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that, watch this, that each one, each of us believers, may receive what is due. It's due. In other words, there's a day coming where God has, in a sense, a debt, if you want to say it that way, because it's due me. These rewards are due me because I functioned and did what I was supposed to. It's like receiving a paycheck at the end of the week. You're on a job site, and the boss comes by and hands out a check. It's like, hey, you're giving me a check. Well, you put in the hours. It's due you. And if you're saved by grace, saved by faith, the work of Christ, but down here, when you get done doing the works, these rewards are not like tokens, not like, you know, participation. They're what is, well, it's like, is this what you think, Galen? Well, no. If you ask me what I thought, we're saved by grace. We just go into heaven, you know, on our hands and knees, thanking Jesus Christ that we're not burning up in hell. It's like, well, yes, thank you, but would you stand up? Now, did you do anything while you're saved on the earth? Oh, I was just too afraid. But I gave you a talent. I gave you a something to work with. Oh, yeah, here it is. I didn't want to mess it up. That Jesus tells that parable. Gave someone 10, 5, and 1. And the one that came, oh, here, you gave me this. Oh, here, you can have it back. I didn't want to mess it up. It's like, you worthless servant. And cast him out, and he loses. And again, that's a tough parable right there, because maybe he didn't understand. He may not have been even in the program. But if you don't use what you've been given, you're a worthless servant. If you use what you've been given and you produce something, then your reward, well, let's read it again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body. See? In the physical body, and then good or evil. Now, again, I've got this broken down in a picture coming up here. That word good or evil, the word evil is not the word for sin or wickedness. It's the word also, it means more like worthless. It's unproductive. It's like it's wood, hay, or straw. And so we'll look at that word in a little bit. Romans 14, verse 10, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, some people make a big difference, and that not a big deal, but there's a judgment seat of Christ and a judgment seat of God. You can take those two and have, what are they? Two different things. You can build that case if you want to, and you should look at it. With my study, they're the same. The Bema seat of God and the Bema seat of Christ, it's the same event. I'll show you when that takes place. And each of us will be, Romans 14:12, each of us will be given, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Again, that giving an account is you interacting with God on Judgment Day, explaining Generation Word Bible teaching ministry. You know, it's like, what were you thinking? Well, here's why I did what I did, and it'll be some kind of an account, a logos. It means you know, conversation means speaking. Now, here's some points right here. Do rewards exist? Some people, they can't handle it. I've been with Christians, especially different churches, you know, smaller churches in the past. There's certain mindsets that, you know, this is a terrible thing to talk about, expecting God to give you a reward. You should just be grateful you're in heaven. It's like, okay, there's a truth to that, except the Bible takes you down to another level that you're supposed to be doing something, and there's going to be, God's going to respond to that. So here we go. Some question the existence of rewards for believers. Some feel it is selfish or materialistic to work for or expect rewards. So you're only working for these rewards? And that can be, yeah, I'm just serving God for the reward. Okay, and I don't think that's really the case. I think it's something to kind of check yourself, realizing you're going to be held accountable. But actually, it would be an act of faith. It's not like I'm pastoring a church for my paycheck at the end of the month, or I'm pastoring the church out of faithfulness to Christ because he will reward me someday in eternity in heaven at a place that I've never seen. So one is an act of, well, worldliness, I need a paycheck. And one is an act of faith. It's like, how can you be, using that as manipulation? It's something that you can't even put your hands on yet. Do rewards mean some people will have them and others will not? Yes. It's like, yeah, there will be losers. At this famous seat of Christ, there will be losers. They won't lose their salvation, but everything they did as a Christian will be burnt up. There are going to be pastors, people in ministries that are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and... That was, but I was a pastor of a church with a rainbow flag. Yeah, no, it's gone, you know, or whatever. And again, Generation Word doesn't have a rainbow flag, but Generation Word may, you know, I'm trying my best. I'm trying to be faithful, but I'm still operating with a sin nature, and there'll be some things in my Christian life that I have done for Christ. I go back to thinking about the record I made in 1978. It's like, I'm sure that's going to, God made me like, I appreciate the effort, but no, there'll be things like that. And okay. Do rewards set levels or graduations in heaven where one believer will outrank another? Yes, there are seats that are assigned to people that Jesus even referred to. That's James and John, mom, can my son sit on your right and on your left? It's like those places have already been assigned to somebody. Meaning, no, James and John are going to probably get a higher place in heaven at the Bema seat of Christ than me. I'm just saying. I would anticipate the Apostle John is going to be bumped up a little bit ahead of me in the final evaluation of rewards. But Jesus says, no, you can't sit on my right and my left. Those have already been given. Now, who to? Moses and Elijah, John the Baptist and, you know, David? Who knows? Probably not me. But definitely, it's not James and John, because he says, no, those have already been taken. So will there be levels? Yeah, there will be. It's like, well, that's not fair. Okay, this is not America in the, you know, the woke community. It's like, no, this is reality. Are there qualities to eternal life? It would appear so. Can someone have a better standing and position in eternity? Isn't the kingdom of God all about equality? These are questions that I've had, that I've recorded. It's like, isn't the kingdom of God all about equality? It's like, what church have you been going to? It's like, no, it's not about equality. We go to heaven, we'll all be equal. Well, you'll all be saved by grace, but have you read the rest of the books? It's like, no, you will not all be equal. Some of you will suffer loss. Some of you are wasting your Christian life. Isn't heaven supposed to be perfect? Well, it is. And that's why you won't have any rewards, because it's perfect. You squandered your chance, and so everything you did was burnt up. Those who suffered and did the work, they'll receive rewards. So yes, it is perfect. If someone else has something I want, won't I be miserable? Well, you should have planned ahead and read the text of Scripture and got busy building what God told you to build on the foundation that he gave you. Again, I don't think you'll be miserable, because I think it's going to be just and perfect, and you will understand. I think and many times, even as a teacher, when I evaluated a student's project or I chose a starting lineup, there may have been some grumbling, but in the end, you know, 90% of the time there was agreement. These are the five guys that should be on the floor. I really wish I was one of them. I know, maybe next year, or work harder. You know, it's like, but they end up knowing who the starters are. Now, parents, another story. It's like, I think my son should be, sorry, I think my son should be coaching. But, okay. If I don't get any rewards, I'll feel like a second-rate believer for all of eternity. Well, you will be saved and you will be in heaven in Christ, but your reward will be just. And I got to think that when Christ reveals it to you, you will understand why he wasn't impressed with, you know, for example, your 1978 vinyl record you tried to produce in Christian music. What are the rewards? We'll talk about that. How do I get rewards? We'll talk about that. How do rewards compare with grace? And again, I think you understand, you're saved by faith in Christ. He does the work of salvation. But now that you're in the body of Christ, he's now given you new life. He's given you the Spirit of God. He's given you gifts. He's given you the assignment to do the work. So they're two different areas. Aren't rewards simply a way of God or men bribing us to do good? Well, you can look at it that way. Isn't your paycheck, you know, some way of bribing you to come to work? Well, yeah, but at the same time, it is due you. It's something that's, he's given you the chance to work and provide. Are not all the righteous, all our righteous deeds like filthy rags before God? Well, that's up in here. You cannot work your salvation. You cannot earn your salvation. But once you have been made the righteousness of God, once you have been infilled with the Spirit of God, you can now produce the good works by the Spirit. And so, yeah, no, you can't earn your salvation and do good works. But once you are redeemed, once you are justified, you should be doing, in fact, it talks about good works, and those good works will be rewarded. So there are two different phases. This is the unsaved phase, coming to salvation. This is the saved phase, producing. Some people consider it humble not to seek rewards from God. Now that would preach, that will preach in a stupid church. I'm just too humble. You're too lazy, you're too stupid. God gave you an assignment. There's a truck of material sitting out in front of your life that God wants you to use. I'm too humble, I don't want to build anything for God. God can do the work. Well, God can do the work, and he did on the cross, and now he's brought you in and says, now build my kingdom. Well, I'm too humble. Okay, you're just too stupid. Okay, you do not understand the reality of Scripture. There are different thoughts about judgment and rewards after death. Is it true believers will never be judged by God? It's true you'll never be judged for your sin. But it's true, your life will be evaluated. You will stand before Jesus Christ and be judged. Is it true that we will be judged after death for our sins and properly punished? No, you will not. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He says it is finished. Your sins have been paid for. So no, you will not be punished or judged for your sins. You will be judged and evaluated for your performance. And that can include times you spent in sin instead of being productive, but it is not going to be the same thing. Next page, page 2. Foundational principles. Rewards are available to the believer from God as recognition of that believer's faithfulness. I wrote the wrong word. I wrote faithfulness instead of faithful. But it's your faithfulness down here. Rewards are for your faithfulness. Now, understand how easy it is to compromise down here in this world, to not be faithful. If it's to walk in sin instead of walking away from sin, if it's to deny Christ or the truth of Scripture or the Christian life and fit with the world, there's many ways of not being faithful. Maybe not finishing the ministry God has given you or being faithful to ministry. There's many ways of not being faithful. If you will be faithful to walk away from sin, or if you will be faithful to confess the name of Christ or stand up for godly principles like in society, you don't even need a ministry for that. You just need to be breathing for that. Those will be rewarded. Points to consider. The believer who has been saved for many years and lives a faithful life will have more opportunity to build up rewards in heaven than someone who is saved at the last minute or one who is saved early but never walked in obedience. So the person that's saved when they're 17 and then they spend their life in obedience, they may have a 60-year period of building up rewards and producing things for God. But the person who lives as an unbeliever throughout their life and is saved on their deathbed, it's going to be hard for them to produce rewards equal to a 60-year lifespan of obedience. It's like, well, that doesn't seem fair. it seems mathematical. I mean, it's like the thief on the cross. How many rewards did he have? He's got, he was with Jesus in paradise. He's glad he came to Christ. He's in a better position than the thief on the other side. But what did he do? I mean, we don't know. I mean, I can't go there. God has used his story for 2,000 years. I mean, even Paul's ministry, Paul has not received his rewards. No one has received his rewards yet. It's impossible. That's going to take place on the on the rapture, at the resurrection, on the appearing of Christ. We'll see that repeatedly. The bema seat of Christ is at the return of Christ, not at the second coming where he comes down and judges the earth at the end of the tribulation, but when he meets the church in the air, the bema seat takes place there. Because at that point, the church age is over and all the work of the church is done. Now we can talk more about that. So Paul has not been judged yet at the bema seat of Christ. One, the bema seat of Christ hasn't happened yet, but Paul's ministry isn't over yet. I'm still reading his material today. And so, in other words, it's not going to come to a close until game's over. And then, so the thief on the cross, the story of the thief on the cross could, you know, again, I'm talking about things speculating. But that is a true fact right there. Someone that's been faithful for many years compared to someone that gets saved at the last minute. So they're both saved. Number two, rewards are not given out when you die, but after the rapture at the reward seat of Christ. I just said that. So people have not gone to their reward. They may have gone to paradise. They may have gone to be with the Lord. They may be with Christ, but they don't have a resurrection body yet, because of the rapture or the resurrection hasn't taken place, and they haven't stood before the bema seat of Christ because it hasn't happened yet. Again, I'm making very specific points of doctrine here from some scripture, and so if I make a specific point and say, well, I may be wrong. The scripture is going to be accurate, and the things I'm trying to glean out of the scripture, I may be overstating it as I'm trying to bring this thing to a point. Number three, it is possible to spend your life thinking you are serving the Lord, but to get no rewards. 1 Corinthians 3:14-15. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, now that foundation is going to be Christ and the reality that Christ built, you're going to build on that. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. So it is possible to be building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, his church, with wood, hay, and straw, which are basically, if you go back, we'll do a study on this as we go through this, they're basically common materials of building anybody's house. Houses in the ancient world, wood, hay, and straw. Straw on the roof, wood. It's like, That's not royalty. That's not godly material. Gold, silver, costly stones, those things are put in temples. And so if you're building on the church, building on Jesus Christ, building for the church, using common, everyday, worthless materials for the common man's house, no, we're not putting up with that. We want gold, silver, costly. In other words, what's this distinction? The distinction can be who produced the building material. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, with you, the believer, producing gold, silver, costly stones by the power of the Holy Spirit, building in the church, building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that will pass through the fire. The fire will just purify it. It's going to look beautiful when it gets done. But if you're doing it in human work, your own ideas, your own band, your own church, you know, all the old manipulation, having your best life now, and you're building that wood, hay, and straw, things you came up with your own idea, it's not going to last. It's not necessarily sinful. It's worthless. It can't endure the test. That's Paul, okay? And Paul was concerned for himself, too. I mean, he wouldn't say, you guys. He was like, he knows what's going on. So this is number three. It is possible to spend your life thinking you are serving the Lord but get no rewards. And then this point right here. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. So very clearly, you've got a Christian building with worthless material, maybe his own ideas. He's a Christian, but you're not following the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. That would be a crown that goes around their head. That'd be a Stephanos. But we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. Watch Paul. Lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. That's Paul. Now, see, that's what I'm doing right here. This word that I just read you 1 Corinthians 9, 25-27. That is the word of God. And I'm preaching it to you, and I'm expressing some truth just by the fact that I'm reading the text of Scripture. And as I do this, lest after preaching to others, you may hear, you may grow, you may mature, you may achieve rewards. But me, the speaker, wrong motivation, got distracted, I myself should be disqualified. Now, Paul's not saying he didn't preach the word. He says, I preached the word. You may have taken it and grown, but I may have got off track. And in the end, it gets burned up in my life, but the word of God continues. And he even says that in one place, in Philippians, when he talks about while he's in prison, some are preaching Christ out of envy. He says they do it to get a reward now. He says we do it to get a reward later. He says, but what do I care? As long as Christ is preached. They're preaching the gospel, but they're trying to get more people following their ministry or their doctrine instead of Paul's. And Paul's like, you know, they're going to suffer loss. But as long as Christ is preached, that's not my concern. Again, we'll read that, and that's in Philippians. Number four, receiving rewards is based on actions, attitude, and truth. For example, pure and sincere motivation to do the right thing for the wrong reason equals zero. You're doing the right thing. Well, I'm teaching the word of God for some wrong motivation. I want people to come to my house on Sunday morning, you know, or I want to have a bigger ministry than Bob down the street who's also got a Bible study. And so, you know, we're going to have Bible study plus cookies and we get more people. And it's like, well, you're doing the right thing. You're getting people to Bible study, but your motivation is what? I got a bigger Bible study than Bob. Okay. You're doing the right thing, but the wrong motivation. Or serving God in truth. To be sincere and pure in motive, but to do the wrong thing is a zero. So how about those pastors who are building mega churches, or they're, you know, having, you know, their best life now, secret churches and parking lots, and they've got, you know, music, and they've got t-shirts, and like, all of these things. It's like, but they don't want to cross a line and make a statement about actually teaching the text of Scripture. They'll maybe use some cute little verses and some stories, some images, and then everybody's like, yeah, it's all about getting along. It's all about tolerance. It's all about working together. It's all about accepting everybody just as they are. Yeah, okay, you've got the right, you know, you've got a sincere motive. You're trying to bring people together, but you don't have truth. You're not teaching truth. It's like, so you may have sincere, pure motivations, but you're doing the wrong thing. That's not the message. And rewards are based on knowledge of God's will and a heart committed to that will. Once again, going, what does God want you to do? Here is the issue, bottom of page 2. At the bottom of page 2. Are you guys okay? Okay. The issue of salvation. Now, I'm giving you a lot of statements right now, and I got a few verses, but if you go back here, there's a lot of verses coming. I've even got some Greek texts coming up here. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm making statements, and you should be judging me as I'm teaching. But the things I'm saying, I believe that I've got Scripture that are making these claims to be accurate. The issue of salvation versus rewards, right here. Salvation versus rewards. Obtaining salvation and obtaining rewards are two different avenues. Okay, and I've already said that, but here's some text. The believer will go through judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, but this will not be a judgment for sin. We've already read this verse, we're going to read it again, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all as Christians, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due him. Now notice this judgment seat of Christ is not like the judgment of heaven or hell, or of believers or unbelievers, because it's what is due. You're going to decide. It's the evaluation of what you produce. It's not the evaluation, do you have faith in Christ? It's an evaluation of what. Although you wouldn't be at the judgment seat of Christ if you didn't have faith in Christ. And here's that. We got a Greek box right here. There's that verse. And again, I got it in more detail later on in the notes. Chapter 5, verse 10, atop of page 3. If you look through there, you can see the first box. Indeed, all of us, it be revealed. We must appear. See, we must appear. And that way it comes across in English, we must appear. Nick, and you appear, and I just appear before Christ. The word is, as you see in the box there, it is the word phanerothene. Okay, I'm trying to read the Greek. Phanerothene. It means to make manifest, to show, to make visible, to illumine. In other words, when you step up at the evaluation, what you have done is going to be made available. It's going to be seen. It's going to be revealed. It's not you just showing up. It's what you bring to the table is going to be exposed. And you will see it clearly for the first time. Now, I can evaluate myself. I can judge myself. But I am not Christ. You know what I'm saying? I can use the Word of God to judge myself. But I'm still missing some pieces. I can twist it and justify. But when I stand before Jesus Christ, it will be revealed for the first time what my life is. And that's what that means right here. We must all appear, or our lives will all show or be made manifest before the, there's the word, bematos. It's from the word bema. It is a platform to which someone walks up to receive judgment. Paul stood before the bema of Festus and Felix and Nero for a judgment. This right here, this is the administration of justice takes place here. It's the tribunal chair or the throne where rewards or punishment are handed out. So we must all appear and our works will be open before the tribunal seat, the bema seat, and here it is, the judgment seat of Christ. It's where he evaluates us and says, this is your reward. This is not going to get rewarded. We must all appear before the bema seat of Christ that might receive each the things done through the body according to what he did, whether good, that would be spiritual, productive, and another place, gold, silver, costly stones, or the word translated there, it's the word phoulos, but it means, it's translated evil here, or some translations, it's translated bad, it's the last word in the box, and this means ordinary, mediocre, worthless, inadequate, or bad. It is not the word kakos, which means bad or evil. It is not the word, it's not the word porneros, which means degeneracy, evil, bad, toilsome. And it's not the word for sin, hamartia. It's the word, so you could have this word, phoulos, kakos, paneros, or hamartia. All those would mean sin, evil, degeneracy, wickedness. This one could be translated bad, but it has the overtone of mediocre, worthless, ordinary, or matches wood, hay, or straw. It's not what God, you're not doing something sinful or evil or degenerate. You're just doing something worthless. In other words, we all may stand around and go, oh, very nice. That wasn't wicked. That wasn't sinful. That was a very nice donation to the church. But God's saying, that was worthless. That was not even close to what I wanted you to do. And so that will come. So that's just interesting. So this is not a judgment between, you know, life or death, sin or righteousness. This is a judgment of your quality of your work. And, okay, this is stated in these verses. In these verses, the idea that salvation is obtained now and judgment is coming later. In these verses, John 3:18, whoever believes is not condemned. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. So see right there, what John is saying in these verses is you hear, you're not condemned. You hear, you're already saved. You're not waiting for the judgment seat. I know, you know, that you are a believer and you're not condemned because you believe now you have salvation. You're not waiting to receive salvation. You're waiting for the fullness of salvation, but you have it now. You don't have your rewards at the bema seat of Christ yet. Now, in life, if you go through the Bible, there are things, you live a certain way, there are natural rewards built in. So you, God may be blessing you, God may be rewarding you in time, but this is not the judgment seat of Christ. You live a certain way, you're going to receive certain judgments just in time. I mean, you string yourself out on drugs, you live an immoral life, it's like, well, it's like, well, it looked like God judged him. I don't think so. I think that was drugs, you know, or you know, not learning the Word of God, or just watching inappropriate material, like bad philosophy, bad ideology, and then you try to run the government with bad ideology. It's like, well, you're going to lead everything to destruction. Well, you're not being blessed because you're not walking in truth. But you start walking in truth, you start walking light. That's why we want, you know, strong families, strong government. We want godly behavior because it will bless your society. That's not the rewards of eternity. That's the blessing of walking in the light, walking in truth. So there is rewards today, but that's another category, if that makes sense. The third point, John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have been justified, you have peace right now today. You're not waiting to be justified, you are. You're not waiting to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ now. 1 Corinthians 11:32. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. And so in my life, and it's happened probably to you too, where God has judged me even in time. If it be, you know, not like a tribunal, but just, okay, that's wrong. And a barrier comes up, or self-condemnation, something, and I just feel convicted. I'm being judged, if it be physically, if it be by other people, if it be my own conscience, be the Holy Spirit. God can judge me now, and the reason he's judging me is to redirect me so that I don't waste my life. So judgment can take, but that's not the Bema Seat. That's not the judgment at the Bema Seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ deals entirely with service and has nothing to do with sin. Jesus has paid for our sins. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. So what we're talking about right there is the judgment seat of Christ. Discerning between salvation and rewards. This would be a nice thing to go through, see if I can get through this list right here, and we'll have to quit. This is just comparing some things. If you haven't figured it out yet, maybe you understand everything, but here's some verses doing the work for us. Salvation is described in Scripture as a free gift. John 4:10. If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water, the gift of God. Romans 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So that is salvation. It is a gift of God, not by works, no reward. It's a gift of God. Okay, salvation by faith. Now, rewards, Matthew 10:42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. You give a cup of water, you get a reward, and I'm going to protect that reward for you. Not salvation. You're giving the cup of water because you have salvation. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now notice how confusing that could be to a youth group, with a youth group pastor who's just wanting to encourage children. It's like you need to run your Christian life so you do not lose the reward of salvation. Live in such a way so you don't lose salvation. Okay, I want to live. And then all of a sudden, as always, they're going to fail at some point, and their conclusion will be, I lost my salvation because I didn't show up for practice one day. Okay, well, no, you're not going to lose your salvation. We're not talking here. Run in such a way as to get the prize. The prize is not salvation. See right here? Watch. Salvation is not the prize you're running your Christian life for. You're in a Christian life because you've received salvation. You're using your salvation to live a Christian life to earn, receive the prize of the reward for having lived a Christian life, been faithful to Christ, and built with gold, silver, and costly stones on the foundation by the power of the Spirit being inspired by the Spirit. You're trying to win that prize. So you twist that around. You could send a youth group off into, you know, what's it called when you don't eat or drink? You try to asceticism. You know, it's like, I'm not going to watch TV. I'm not going to listen to music. I'm not going to eat this or drink this. I'm not going to talk to. And just like I said, because I don't want to lose the prize. It's like, you can't lose salvation. You're going to mature in your salvation and produce rewards. Okay, so live a life that you don't lose this and win the prize. Okay, that's 1 Corinthians 9. Turn the page. Oh, here's more of them. to end that verse, they do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. This is Paul talking about his life. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I'm on page 4, first verse up there. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Now, we're going to get into crowns next week or soon after. There's 5 crowns mentioned in Scripture, and they're all different. I receive for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Now, that day is a specific day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And of course, now that gives you a little bit of clue, and it's going to come up very clearly later. That day is the day of his appearing, when he appears in the sky and we meet him in the air. That's the day of the Bema Seat of Christ. And Paul says, I fought the fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, and I'm waiting. I don't have it now. I'm not going to get it when I die. But when he appears, he knows this much. I'll stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and I will receive that crown of righteousness. Now again, Paul's evaluating himself, and I would assume that he's correct. Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, but you may be that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So that's not, if you're faithful to death, I'll let you be saved. No, you're saved, and that's why you're going to be tested by Satan. And I'm going to, these are verses I don't want to hear. He says, Satan's coming to test you. I'm going to let him test you for 10 days. It's like, I don't know if we know the situation. I mean, is this eschatological, or is this a specific church and a location, a historical event that takes place in that church? It's like there's historical events in the Corinthian church that Paul writes about, historical events in the Thessalonian church that Paul addresses. That's not us. That was them there. We can learn from it, but we're not going through that. This may be a specific 10 days in their culture that they're going through, Sardis. And they're going to be tested because they had salvation, but if they endured, they would receive the crown of life. Now, Revelation 22:12. Behold, Jesus says, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me. And recompense would be his payment, his paychecks for his employees, his rewards. My recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. Notice right there, what he has done. Jesus is coming with his recompense to give to each one, to repay each one for what he has done. That's reward. He's not coming back with salvation for what you've done. You already have salvation. He's not going to give you salvation when he gets here. You have it. He's going to give you recompense when he comes back. And Luke 19:17, and he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities, which opens up a whole new ball game. You're doing something here in time with the truck that God backed up for you to build with all the materials and the building plans. And because you completed this project and you were faithful with 10 cities, is that what it says? Faithful with little, okay, little. Then in the resurrection state, you're going to be given something bigger, 10 cities to manage. Now again, what does that mean? I mean, when I shut my eyes, I think of going to heaven. I see myself like in this, kind of like this cloudy area, and I'm like standing there, you know, in some kind of a robe. It's kind of dingy, but it's light colored. And then there's a really bright robe in front of me. It's Jesus. And I'm just like, oh, so glad I'm in heaven. Now I'm dead. You know, I'm dead. I mean, it's like, okay. But it's like, okay. And then now the judgment seat of Christ, and now I'm being evaluated. I can imagine that. And him just shaking his head going, there were so many things you could have done. I know. I tried. I don't know. I'm just glad to be here. You know, but it's like, now I'm going to give you 10 cities. I mean, where are these cities at? You know, I mean, what do they represent? I mean, I got more to do. Oh yeah, you did such a good job here. I'm going to give you things to do up here. It's like, where are these? What are we doing up here? I thought we're just like, I thought it's like, and then if you do have some light, there's just like this big circle of yellow gold colored angels with like some harps and music in it, and they're singing. It's really good music. I mean, we're so glad to be here forever. You know, it's like being stuck in a rock concert, like forever. It's like, can we sing a different song? It's like, turn the radio or record player over. It's like, but it's so limited. So what I'm saying is, I'm making fun of myself, because here's 10 cities. You were faithful here with Generation Word. I'm going to give you 10 ministries up here. What are they? Well, here's the library. Here's the broadcasting system, and you know, go for it. It's like, I didn't know I was going to, I thought I'd just be like sitting here listening to music and being in the presence of the Lord and not suffering. It's like, oh, no, I created you to produce. Let's go do this thing. What are we doing? I mean, it's like, I run out of track right there. It's like a high-speed rail in California. I just ran out of track. I didn't know where to go. Okay. The next one, salvation and rewards, point 3 and 4 compared. Salvation is your present possession. We've seen this, and here's your verses. Your faith has saved you. Whoever believes in the Son of God has eternal life. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in me who sent me has eternal life. Now, rewards are in the future. You don't have them now. You can't have them now. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come in the Father's glory with his angels. Okay, here you go. The Son of Man, Jesus, is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I fought the good fight, I finished the race. Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And Revelation 22:12, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me. So all these rewards haven't taken place. 5 and 6, salvation cannot be lost. 6, rewards can be lost. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, no, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Disqualified is the word adokimotso. The word dokimotso, it means to test and approve metal. Like if you bring in, this is silver, they test it with fire. It's dokimazo. Yes, this is silver. A dokimazo, A is the negative, means we tested it, and A dokimazo, it didn't pass. This, it burned up, it was wood. This is a silver nickel. It's like, let's see. We tested dokimazo, it's silver. A dokimazo, it's tested, and it burns up. And Paul's saying right here, I myself will not be a dokimazo for the prize. I was, my work was burned up and not passed. There's some other things right there. Salvation, God offers the lost. The lost are offered salvation. The believers are offered rewards. And that brings us right there in the middle of page 5. And we'll pick this up next week. I've got some verses to go through. And something you may want to look at is on page 7. I've got 7 judgments at the bottom of page 7. Just for you to kind of preview. There's the judgments of believers, number 1, at the end of the church age. And then 2 through 5 are at the end of the tribulation. You got the judgment of the Old Testament saints. You've got the judgment of the saints of the tribulation. See, there's going to be saints in the tribulation, and they're not part of the church. So that we'll already have our reward, depending on where you place the rapture. And yet you got people that are still being beheaded for Christ during the tribulation, and we're already in heaven. Then you're going to have the Jewish survivors of the tribulation judged, and the Gentile survivors of the tribulation. So 2, 3, 4, and 5 are different judgments than the Bema Seat of Christ, number 1. And then number 6 and 7 are the judgment of Satan and the fallen angels. And number 7 is the Great White Throne Judgment, which is the general resurrection where everyone is resurrected out of Hades and the other world. And the books are opened, and they're rewarded for their works. And then another book was opened, the book of life, and if their name was not found in the book of life, they're cast into the lake of fire. So what's interesting there at the Great White Throne Judgment, there are also books are open of everything they did, and they're rewarded for what they did in a resurrected body, and then the book is open, book of life is open, and if they're not in the book of life, they're thrown in the lake of fire. And notice where that, if you go to that next page, there's a chart right there that shows you when those, again, this would be something worth discussing right here. This is the Old Testament, the cross, the day of Pentecost. Here's the church age. Now, sometime, here's the seven-year tribulation. You can have a pre-trib rapture, you can have a mid-trib rapture, a pre-wrath rapture, a rapture at the end of the tribulation. Somewhere there's a rapture, a resurrection from the dead taking place. And right here, when we meet the Lord in the air, that's the great, the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ. That's where the church is. Church is over. But then you still have time here. And 2, 3, 4, and 5 apparently take place at the end of the tribulation. And then you got a 1,000-year millennium. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, you got 6 and 7 taking place of judgments. So those are 7 judgments. That is me trying to put the pieces together. You can't just say there's one judgment. It doesn't fit, because when he appears, the Bema seat of Christ is taking place, and you can't be judging the tribulation saints. You can't be judging the nations. You can't be judging. There's several things take place. We'll get into that next week, but you can take a look at that. I'll pray, and we're done. If you have any questions or comments or corrections, believe me, there's room for corrections and improvements. Feel free. Father, we do thank you for the chance to hear these things. We thank you for salvation, but we also thank you that you provided us with the material, with the Spirit, with the new nature to produce things for your kingdom right now in history, right now, today, that will last forever. We look forward to entering your kingdom, to understanding what you have planned for us. We ask that we would, again, prepare ourselves, allow you to prepare us for the things you have for us in this age and in the age to come. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the freedom we have to study these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time.